This is the Locked On Auburn podcast. Happy Wednesday. The show getting released a little bit later than normal for a couple reasons. One, I filled in on the lunch break with Painter Sharpless, so that was fun. And also, I wanted the scrimmage to be done so we could talk about it and get all of that out there to you. So today, I'm about to queue up a segment of me on the lunch break today. It was Painter Sharpless and Michael Pappas on ESPN 106.7. The segment of us just kind of going through what Malzahn was saying while he was at the podium and kind of our thoughts. Spoiler, not a huge day for Auburn football as far as news, as far as release news. I'm sure they got a lot of information that they're not going to tell anyone, but we'll jump into that. Let's talk about what Gus is talking about.
Let's talk about the talk.
Cool. So, yeah, he's actually talking to media right now. He opened up things talking about they did some two-minute situations offensively, and both quarterbacks rotated equally doing some two-minute drills. They did those drills with SEC officials. Malzahn talked about how important that was for young quarterbacks. I think that's important for anybody. I mean, you get true quality reps. Didn't really talk about how that went. He just said that they did that. It kind of curious how well the offense moved the ball there. He was asked about the quarterbacks, or actually I think it was just part of his opening statement. He said, quote, "I think both guys at times had solid days today. You see flashes," which is kind of been the story all along, right? As far as you don't know which guy's going to be more consistent. Josh Vitale tweets a Malzahn quote, "Anytime you scrimmage is going to give you great information. But sitting here today, I can't tell you any more than I did last time." And then Justin Lee tweets, "JJ," this is a Malzahn quote, "JJ Wilson is a guy that stood out so far, just wanting the ball and attacking the ball." He also said Zach Farrar is the same. So there's your Zach Farrar. I know, Painter, that's a guy that you mentioned in the first segment. J.J. Wilson talking about wanting the ball and attacking the football. Is that interesting at all to you guys?
Getting after it. He's a football player flying around. I am fascinated to see, though, how productive he can be, because a lot of what J.J. Wilson, his value to Auburn, like, may never show up much in the stat category. Like, it's going to – can he fill in to some extent and do some things – perhaps like Chandler Cox was able to very effectively do. I'm fascinated to see what he – it's just such an important position that is often overlooked.
Painter, do you want a Gus Malzahn quote on your favorite player, Seth Williams?
Yeah, of course.
Malzahn said wide receiver Seth Williams has done well this week, and the staff is, quote, "moving him around to different spots at receiver."
I wonder sometimes, too, like, with a guy as talented as that, you know, and he was limited last week, it's just a – his, you know, being consistent in practice, like, we know he showed up as a freshman in games, and so I'm curious to see him do that with consistency. And as he's now a sophomore and working his way, I mean, maybe the leading receiver this year, we'll see. I certainly am highest among him of all the receivers, but I'd like to see him, if that's what happens and he ascends to become a very important player on the team, you know, take on a leadership role.
Michael, what do you think is more likely? Painter having a picture of Seth Williams in his home or me having a picture of Noah Igbinoghene in my home?
I feel like it would be Sean Shivers, by the way.
I think it's more likely that you would have a picture of Noah Igbinoghene.
Okay, but I still think you'd have one of Sean Shivers, Zach.
We'll see.
Could it be both?
You haven't been over to the house yet. So.
That's fair. That's true.
All right, Nathan King, he's an FOP. He tweets, "Gus Malzahn says freshman tight end Tyler Fromm has been a useful tool for the offense, moving from tight end to H-back and even playing some receiver." So that's interesting.
And Justin adding, unless you already read this, and I apologize if you did, quote, "First game, who are we going to trust? Ball security has been Malzahn's biggest point." So the point in the context of that is saying all of the running backs participated, and there was only one fumble. It was recovered. But again, ball security, always a concern. And at running back, where they seem to have a plethora of options, I think that could be one of the factors they're looking for most. Who's going to hold on to the ball? Albeit, Zach, I think that, you know, we maybe disagree is the wrong word here, but I'm perhaps just higher on Booby Whitlow than you are. Is that still the case?
I think you could say it's a disagreement. Yeah, I mean, I don't, he's being talked about like he's a top-tier SEC back, and I'm skeptical. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I don't think that we've truly seen a healthy Booby Whitlow. So that's definitely the argument for him.
Mm-hmm.
And in this situation with five offensive linemen coming back, you got a veteran group up front. I mean, all things are kind of in place for him to have a breakout year. So we'll see. I mean, if he lives up to the hype that a lot of Auburn fans are really excited about Booby Whitlow, I mean, this is a guy that could end up leading the conference in rushing, you know, and I think Booby Whitlow could be a big part of that.
Right, and to my point in talking about the fumble and ball security regardless, like I don't think it affects too much of the guy as long as he's healthy. Like you say, he's going to lead, I think, in terms of touches in that backfield, although it may not be as skewed as we saw perhaps in that 2017 season with Kerryon Johnson. What else do we have, Zach?
Painter, you and I have talked about this before, kind of one, and Michael, you did as well when you came on the Locked On Auburn podcast. One of the questions I asked you, both of
nice
you guys,
plug.
Was appreciate it. Was who do you think the number two wide receiver is going to be to Seth Williams? It looks like we finally have our answer here. And Matthew Hill getting most of the reps with the first team offense. Malzahn said, quote, he's really taken that next step.
And so, that doesn't surprise me. Does it surprise you? I mean, the way we heard about him in the spring, what he happened to do in A-Day, which we generally on this show kind of add the disclaimer of don't put too much weight in that game. But you did get to see some of it at A-Day. A guy that a lot of people, I think, thought would have more of the role of Seth Williams last year and play as a freshman, and that didn't really happen. And so now I think it is time for both of them to play and have effective seasons.
And especially with Schwartz going down, right? It's like, okay, who's going to be that guy that you're able to use attacking downfield? A lot of people really like Hastings. A lot of people really like Stove. But as far as that lethal threat where defenses have to kind of keep an eye on where you are, it really seems like it's going to be Matthew Hill. I mean, really, we haven't heard anything but very positive things about Matthew Hill when we talk to guys that know what they're talking about, right? So I think that's a good thing. I think that's a good thing for sure.
I have an unrelated question really fast. At times like these, when the guys are in press conferences and you know, you guys have both been in them before, and you know, I guess I know most of these beat writers. Do you ever think about them all sitting in the room and tweeting as if Gus, like, says a quote and then is like, all right, go. And then it's just like a race to see who can get it out first?
Yes. Yes, I think about that all the time, actually.
That's how, like, while I'm going through all these tweets like we are right now, that's what I imagine, them sitting in the room just
trying to type as quickly as possible without any typos and having to hit backspace.
Exactly.
Trying to get it out. You're right. Trying to make that happen. Also, Justin adding, speaking of wide receivers, that Seth Williams has, quote, done well this week, and added that he was also limited in today's scrimmage but worked in two-minute situations, has not been 100% throughout camp this fall. So Auburn deep at wide receiver, trying to figure things out at a particular spot where Zach Farrar is. But with the caution they're taking with Eli Stove, with Schwartz's injury and surgery that was reported, with Seth Williams being limited, Auburn does, I think, have plenty of options at wide receiver, but does want to be healthy in a few weeks. And is it time to be concerned? I'm going to say no. It seems like they're more than anything just being cautious with a few weeks to go before the season.
Definitely. And that's where you want to be right now, right? I mean, we as, you know, media members want to see people be cautious. No one ever likes to see anyone get hurt, and especially no one likes to see anyone, you know, stay hurt.
And the guy that they're being super cautious with in particular, like Stove, like Williams, you know, to a different extent because the injury was more serious, Schwartz. It's like you also kind of have an idea of what they offer. Zach, anything else step out or jump out at you?
No, I want to get y'all's opinion on something, though. I mean, it's very clear that he's not going to say anything more about the quarterback battle today. Do you think he knows, and it's not his time, it's not the right time to say it? Do you guys think he knows who's going to be the starter at this point?
It's my opinion he's leaning in a direction, and it would probably take a lot to shift that at this point. But I was telling Michael before you jumped in here that I think sometime probably between, like, this next Monday and next Thursday, we'll get an answer. But I would assume by now he's got a leader in his head. Yeah.
I think he knows, and he's trying to collect as much data to prove himself correct as possible before he, you know, makes it official. That would be my guess, because
I also wonder if it's as evident to the rest of the team, and if one of those guys or both of those guys, like what the dynamic of the leadership of that position is like, and if there's still time of developing sort of the moxie of being the guy even before it's named. It's like you need to earn that. You need to make people believe that you are, in fact, the leader. That way, when we give you the job, it's already instilled.
Yeah, I have a hard time buying the fact that it's not obvious to those on the team, right? I mean, one guy has to be just significantly better, or noticeably better, right?
What if he's not? I mean, that's...
Or maybe, maybe inconsistency is kind of the big thing. Is like one day Joey's noticeably better, than the next day Bo's noticeably better.
I tend to agree with you, but I feel like so many of the reports that we've heard have been that they're all saying like they're like some one guy looks significantly better at some things, and other guys look significantly better at other things.
They let the media talk to Booby Whitlow.
Stop. Yes.
Looks like his first quote was RBU is back. That's all I've got to say.
I hope that was it, and he walks away.
Mic drop.
That's it. He has a good quote though, and he's fun.
I'm genuinely excited.
Yeah, I'm glad that we're gonna have that.
Yeah, like I said, not a whole lot of stuff there, but still fun chatter, and just the fact that we're a few weeks away is exciting. I'm going to take some of your questions in a second, but first, fantasy football players, make sure you listen to Vinny Lyer and Locked On Fantasy Football. Vinny gives you the edge with over 20 years of covering fantasy football. Don't listen to the same stuff as everyone else taking the same advice. Get the edge from Vinny that will put you ahead on draft day and put you ahead all season long. Locked On Fantasy Football is available wherever you get your podcasts. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Fetch Me. They are run by an alum of Auburn and have the greatest variety of restaurants to order and get your meal delivered in Auburn and Opelika. If you are looking to have your family meal delivered in less than 40 minutes, you need to go to Fetch Me. Fetch Me has a great selection of anything you want, including meals from your favorite restaurants, groceries, and coffee. I have to say, Fetch Me also has the friendliest and fastest service in town. Fetch Me does that because their mission to change the delivery experience by ensuring each order is delicious, accurate, timely, and most of all, you have a great experience. Fetch Me is the best in the business. Go check out Fetch Me at fetchmedelivery.com and use promo code FETCHME20 to get your first delivery free. That's FETCHME20 for your first delivery free. We answered some of the questions that you tweeted at me at Z Blackerby on the lunch break earlier today as well. Here is that. Once again, I'm chatting with Michael Pappas and Painter Sharpless of ESPN 106.7.
Let's go football. We're in a football feeling mood, I think.
All right. If you remember this time a year ago, I was extremely hard on Daniel Thomas.
Sure.
So Jake asks, who will be this year's Daniel Thomas from last year, a.k.a. the player you're not high on, but is going to make you eat crow?
The only person I can think of for you specifically is a running back.
Yep, it is Booby Whitlow. That is my answer.
And you don't think he's bad. I think
he's fine, and I think he's in a great situation. But if he's as talented as, you know, everyone around him believes he can be, and, you know, and is able to stay healthy, I mean, you're talking about one of the more dynamic players in the SEC. So I think that's kind of it, because I've just been hard on Booby Whitlow for the past two seasons. So we'll see what that. I think that's my answer. Do you guys have a guy that you're not high on that could totally prove you wrong this year?
I have to think about it, because off the top of my head, there isn't a guy that I've been knocking that I think, you know.
You're not high on Seth Williams.
Exactly. I mean, that guy, no good at all. No good. What about you, Mike? Michael?
I don't know.
Mikey P.
Definitely not. Darius Slayton?
Well.
In the NFL?
That's interesting. We can talk about that for a moment. It's the end of the show.
I'm just not high on him. And I guess
I got a lot of questions
me wrong.
If you want to go to another one.
Yeah, let's go to another one. I don't really I feel like I'm not that low on anybody.
All right, here we go. War Eagle 1 tweets at Z Blackerby. Besides Owen Papo, what true freshman will have an impact on defense?
Well, you know, you brought up a guy,
Jaron Handy.
Yeah, earlier in the and like, there's usually a defensive lineman that gets in that rotation. So not like there's opportunity there because of the way that unit plays. You know, so in terms of freshmen, I guess if you're not looking at one of the quarterbacks, I think that someone along the defensive line is a good choice. I'm really curious to see. He came in late. And I don't know how he'll factor into the receiving core, but he was electric in high school. Javarius Johnson.
Or Matthew Hill is a redshirt freshman. I mean, right. It looks like he's going to get some. I mean, he was the highest touted recruit coming in for that class. And then Seth Williams was the one who surprised people.
Now, the question was on defense, guys. The question was on defense.
Yeah, I just feel like the defense is really kind of set. I don't really see anyone.
Any freshman. Pieces?
Man, I'm bad at paying attention.
Maybe
it's not a big deal.
It's a fair point.
Maybe at cornerback, but I can't even think of anyone that it could be.
It's just so hard to crack this rotation right now, and it seems like Handy is the only one where we're actually hearing chatter about that happening.
Right. Well, when I look at the secondary, you know, now you've got a number of players who've at least played one season or more, so there's experience littered throughout the secondary. The linebacker core outside of Papo, who he mentioned in that tweet, same thing, even though they haven't started. So I think it almost certainly has to be along the line, and I think we all now kind of turn to a guy like Handy who has turned heads, but you wonder about health. And also, I think it just makes sense because of the way they rotate. Mm-hmm. It's a good position group for that to happen.
We want another one?
Why not?
Okay. Adam Harris tweets, at C. Blackerby, who accounts for more points against Oregon? Gatewood / Nix or Anders Carlson?
Anders Carlson.
Usually I'm going to go with the kicker. Mm-hmm. I'm going to typically roll with the kicker. So I'll go Anders Carlson.
I think it's going to be the quarterback. Okay. I think they're going to have... I think Auburn's going to be able to put up points against Oregon.
I think it's more likely that Auburn scores 3 rushing touchdowns and Anders Carlson gets...
But I think Joey starts, 3 though, to nothing. And I think Joey gets a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, okay. And that would be 6 for Joey and 1 for Anders.
If he gets a rushing and a passing,
yeah,
then it's like I don't think the bookstore is going to score 12.
Right? Yeah, I'm going with the conservative answer here in the kicker.
I think it's more likely that the rushing attack performs really, really well than one of the quarterbacks comes out and throws 2 touchdowns, I guess. I don't know.
Do we want another one?
Yeah.
Sure, before we get into what's on the night, I'm enjoying this game, maybe more than anyone else.
D. Woods tweets, "Hi, Zach! ! Love it when people are excited to see
me.
I love that. I love that. Should Tega's knee be a bigger issue than is being portrayed or reported? Who will fill in at left tackle?"
Yeah, my general consensus is don't think about people's knees, because I think that the more that you think or talk about them, you will the injury into existence.
But, I mean, it is a big deal, though.
They have, whether you're looking at Bailey Sharp or like, Brahms.
We're
going
to talk about it anyway.
Yes.
I mean.
We're answering the question,
In terms of depth, there is a real question mark, because they felt really good about Troxell as the backup, and that obviously is no longer an option. And so there are some other options there that the coaches know about, but none that we have seen reliably in a game scenario. So I think it is a concern, and not just for Tega, although obviously his upside and his talent and playing the particular position he does is the one with the most emphasis.
Right. One of the topics of the Locked On Auburn podcast for the past few weeks, and I'm sure it was one of you guys, I don't remember, but it was who's the most important player on each side of the football. And my answer was Prince Tega's the most important player on the team, as far as he has to stay healthy for Auburn to have success. I mean, he is extremely vital for this Auburn offense.
I can't disagree. When you looked at the way that the offensive line was last year, and he and Harrell were, you know, kind of lone bright spots.
Is it Harrell or Harrell? That's a real question.
I've said both.
I've heard both.
Okay. So
I say Harrell, but I don't know.
It'd be nice to just ask him. And then we could sort of, you know, and like, it's not as if we couldn't. So I'm not sure why we
asked twice. And one time he said Harrell, and then the second time he said Harrell.
The only bigger troll job would be putting one quarterback out there to start for all of the reps except one, and then going with the other one. So I think that would be unnecessarily manipulative. But I don't know, to answer your question, Michael, because I do both.
Do you want another question, or do we want to do what's on tonight?
One more.
Let's get into what's on the night, Michael. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but we are running low on time. It's been a good show. We've heard from Gus Malzahn and Booby Whitlow. We've talked more about this quarterback competition. Had a lot of great calls today, too. Very passionate.
Let's do one more, just real quick, because I think you'll appreciate this, Painter. does that dude still live in the teepee behind the bagman's house? That's wild, man.
As far as I'm aware, he has not changed his primary domicile. For those of you that don't know, I think you guys discussed this, last Thursday while I was at the press conference? Is that right, or was this
Did we talk about it on the lunch break, Michael?
Maybe it was talked about on the
I think it was just on the...
Just on the podcast.
But there is someone that does live at a teepee with solar panels. It is amazing.
And it's in Scott Bagwell, voice of the Auburn High School Tigers, in his backyard.
I got a few more questions that we didn't get to, and we will touch on that later in the week. Quickly, the new Locked On NFL is on fire. Last week, it was one of the most listened to NFL shows among all NFL podcasts, with the expert analysis of former NFL scout Matt Williamson. And host Brian Peacock. Locked On NFL is your daily national podcast on all things NFL with Matt's unique take on the game. Follow Locked On NFL on your favorite podcast provider. I'm going to wrap up today's show with audio from Gus Malzahn. We kind of recapped and read some of that, but want to make sure you hear everything that he had to say because he knows more about this team than anybody else does. Believe it or not, but some fans may doubt that, which is kind of funny.
Okay, all right. Completed our second scrimmage today. Really starting out the day, we went live, field goal block. Really just trying to develop some depth on the offensive line, for field goal protection. And really just try to, pick up where we left off. We did a great job defensively blocking kicks last year. So that was an emphasis at the very first of practice. Then we did some special teams work, punt return. Did some live reps with that. It's really good for our punt returners. The same three guys rotated, really just looking at it from the scrimmage. I don't think there's a whole lot of separation from the different things. And then we did a couple sky kicks. Of course, that's been a point of emphasis for us. We were average last year at executing sky kicks, and it was good for our returners to get back on the 10-yard line, have to make decisions and all that. Then we went ahead and went some two-minute situations. I think we've went 8 two-minute situations in the last 2 days with SEC officials. It's always really good to execute that. It helps our young quarterbacks, learn what the expectations are and put them in as many situations as possible, to try to get them game ready too. Both quarterbacks, rotated equally the last 2 days with a 2 minute. And I think, obviously it's great for our defense in those situations too. After that, we put the ball down. It was a real similar scrimmage to what it was. The last scrimmage, about the same number of plays with the ones, twos, and threes. Quarterbacks rotated equally. There was a little bit more of an emphasis on throwing the ball. This scrimmage usually is. That's by design. Our receivers, were a little inconsistent. We had a couple big drops that really would have really kept drives alive and probably put some points on the board as far as that goes. The offense overall really rebounded. We're starting to look like an Auburn offense. If we get just the inconsistencies with a few drops, I think we'd have felt a little bit better about that. But overall, it was a really good day. It was hot. The last 3 days, it's been extremely hot. Really feel like our guys have battled through and pushed themselves through, not feeling sorry for themselves, and that's really encouraging. We're building the character of our team right now, and so really feel good from that standpoint, just from the leadership and our attitude overall, pushing through the heat. Questions?
Did this scrimmage get you a meaningful step closer in the quarterback battle?
Now, I think anytime you scrimmage, like I said last time, it's going to give us great information. Sitting here today, I can't tell you any more really than I did last time, but other than the fact we got two scrimmages now, and we're getting more and more information. And I thought both guys at times, did a very solid day today. Like I said, we're starting to look like an Auburn offense. We're not there yet. But we're starting to look that. You see flashes. And like I said, overall, I think both those guys did some good things. And then Cord got, some reps towards the end. And he's a guy that continues to improve, too.
You've had several of your top receivers out with injury these last two scrimmages. You have backups and you want someone to stand up.
Yeah.
Is that a little disappointing? And is there anyone that's
There's a couple guys that we're just trying to be smart with. That's going to be fine, for the first game. We're trying to develop some depth.
You know, J.J. Wilson's a guy that's really stood out so far about you know, wanting the ball and attacking the ball and really doing a good job overall. And so we really wanted to give him a look. Zach Farrar, same type deal. And, you know, it looks like he's improving, you know, each practice too. And then some of our older guys that hadn't started before, the Marquise McLeans and Corsal, we're giving them guys plenty of opportunities because, you know, we're going to need everybody. And you know, this is a really way we've been looking at it is a great opportunity to develop depth. And so they're getting all they want. Seth Williams, you know, he did a good job this week in practice. We're kind of moving him around a little bit. And so, like I said, we just got to continue to improve. We got to get more consistent, really just catching the basic balls, I'd say, at this point.
This guy, what, Jake Fromm, where have you been in that
part? Yeah, Tyler?
Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyler, we're moving him around. You know, he's got a unique skill set. So, you know, we've been playing at tight end, H-back, but also we're moving him out wide some. And that's kind of what he did in high school anyway. He's a big body. He's a guy that needs to take the next step, and we told him that. He's a guy that could help us this year. He's showing flashes, you know, of being able to do that. And, you know, that's going to be a big key. You know, every year we've had a chance to win a championship here. We've had freshmen that helped us and played big roles and big games. And so we've challenged not only him, but we've challenged all those freshmen. You know, we recruited those guys to play. And reality is now they're here, and now they got the opportunity to do it, and they just got to do it.
Yes, what did you see from the defense today?
Yeah, defense did a good job. You know, defense, what I like is you can tell we're an experienced defense. So let's say today there was a new wrinkle. That was a successful play on offense. All right, there's one on my mind today that was an explosive play. Tried to run it, disguise it later in the scrimmage, and they snipped it out. I mean, so it just tells you, like, the veteran group can make adjustments, which is so important, you know, in the course of games.
When you exit preseason camp, you get that day break, everybody goes to class.
Yeah.
When you return to practice on the 20th, do you want to be like, this is our starting quarterback?
I'm not ready to say that today. Kind of like I said at the very first, you know, whenever it feels right and you want to be like really clear, that's when we'll name it. Now, that'll be 2 weeks away. And, you know, that's when you start school, that's when you really start the emphasis on them. This next week will be a little bit of the first and a little bit of keep developing the finer tuned things. So, you know, not ready to say that yet, but we will have our base plan in for Oregon so we can really start stressing those things.
What did you see from your running backs today?
All the running backs scrimmaged. I think all of them, you know, carried the ball. I think we had one ball on the ground, but he got it back. He just kind of hit and kind of got away, and he got it back. But that's what you're looking for. Right now, like, we got some talented running backs, and I think anybody, all those guys we got can help us win. But first game, who do we trust? Who's going to hold on the ball? That's the number one thing. And so that's really what I've been stressing and Cadillac's been stressing.
Were you able to run the football more effectively this game?
Yeah, you know, I think overall it was like – like I said, it was more balanced, and like I said, we're close to start to look like an Auburn offense, so that's being able to throw it and run it, you know, close. We're not there yet, but I saw improvement today, and, you know, that's the encouraging thing, and I'd like to think once we, you know, get our veteran receivers out there, it'll even be a little bit cleaner.
How do you balance that when you have a quarterback competition and you're getting closer to game prep, yeah, with these receivers?
You can still see the ball placement. Should the ball been caught? Should it not? Or do they throw the ball away when he's covered? Do you catch it where he can catch or nobody can catch? I mean, or throw it where he can catch or nobody can catch? I mean, those things you can evaluate. And so, like I said, and there's nothing like a scrimmage, getting out there and putting the ball down. Coaches are on the sidelines and down in distance thinking. And then the two-minute situations, too, are also, you know, very good information, too.
You mentioned
Well, I mean, like, he's versatile. I mean, the guy's like, he could play a lot of different positions. He could play a raw wide receiver position. He could probably play running back. I mean, he can do a lot of different things, you know. So, you know, but I will say this, you know, the other two H-backs, I mean, the older guys, I mean, you can tell they've improved now. And so it feels good that, you know, we have three of them and we can do a little bit more things. We may be in 12 personnel a little bit more, you know, so it gives us a little more flexibility and, you know, and so, That's a good thing as far as going into the season.
How do you think Matthew Hill's done with probably getting a little bit more reps?
Yeah, he's getting most of the reps with the ones right now, and you know there's some good and some things he needs to improve on. I mean, he's one of those guys that we're really needing to take that next step. He showed flashes. He made a couple wild plays, but we just got to be consistent. You know, consistent with everything that goes on. There's nothing better than getting out there with the ones and you know, showing what you can do when the pressure's on. No, all the offensive guys. Seth Williams was limited. He did the 2 minute, but that wasn't. If we played today, he'd have played. If we played another team, so. But everybody else played, and no one was held out. You know, we got a couple guys that are a little banged up. You know, the younger guys and all that y'all probably saw. You know, yesterday at practice or the day at practice, but everybody else, the older guys played.
Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. This has been another edition of the Locked On Auburn podcast.
It's the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.